Welcome to the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast with your host, Audrey McLaughlin.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 44 of the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast. Today we're talking fly fighting strategies. It is springtime. The flies are out, or at least they are in my neck of the woods. And if they're not in your neck of the woods yet, they are definitely on the way. So I'm excited to announce that today's show is brought to you by our friends at Paddock Blade. Paddock Blade has been making paddock cleaning easy since 2016. It is the fastest, quickest, easiest way to keep your pasture poo-free and your horses happy and healthy, and keep those fecal egg counts, worms, and flies pertinent to today's episode at bay. Paddock Blade ensures its premium quality by manufacturing locally across the world. They back the word with a lifetime warranty. It saves you 3 to 5 hours a week. That is 6 to 10 days a year to do more of the things that you love to do and less of the things that you don't. So make sure you search Paddock Blade today. Use code EQM100 to get $100 off and free shipping. That's huge. So that's for a limited time only. Make sure you use code EQM100. All the details are in the show notes. Let's dive into today's episode. Man, I've been getting questions about this stuff a lot in TikTok, also in my equine nutrition groups on Facebook, in my student courses, all that kind of stuff. There, flies are a problem, right? And it's the time of year where if you're boarding your horse, boarding barns are starting to say, okay, we're going to start feeding the feed through fly control. And so I want to talk to you about some tips, whether you have your horse at home, your horses at home, or whether you manage a big boarding barn, or whether your horse lives in a boarding barn, right? We're going to talk about tips to creating a no-fly zone, if you will, around your horse. All of us feel at some point that we are losing the battle between us and the flies, right? Especially around the stalls, around the barns, maybe even out in the pasture. Having flies is frustrating. It's frustrating to you. They bite. They bite me. They bite the horses. They can actually cause a lot of stress for horses too. So, and we can see that stress build up and what the long-term effects of that stress do for the horse's microbiome, the horse's mineral balance, all of those things. So all of that to say, I definitely understand why you want to get rid of them. I do too. But the way that we get rid of them is critically important, right? There are ways that we can get rid of them that absolutely work and have negative side effects for the horse. And there are ways that we can get rid of them that absolutely work, period, right? So a lot of people have been asking me about feed through fly control. And I'm going to group a couple things into this, right? Because technically, whether we're giving an herb to help the horse repel flies, or we're giving, an extra antioxidant to help build up the acid mantle in the skin, or whether we are giving a feed through pesticide like Simplify or Clarify or one of those, or bugs, there's a couple others on the market. And they're all the same, essentially chemical. It's a feed through pesticide. We want to make sure, number one, that we understand how they work. Number two, that we understand what the side effects and potential side effects are. And number three, as with all things, the dose makes the poison, right? So as you may have guessed, I'm not a fan of feeding a feed-through pesticide. Technically, they're called a larvicide. And the way it works is that it kills the larva from the flies or the mosquitoes before they mature into adults, right? It's an additive that's added to the horse's feed. It's usually in the form of a pellet, not a powder. So usually that pellet in itself also has a lot of inflammatory ingredients in it that increase palatability and all those things. So this active ingredient, the larvicide, mixes into the horse's manure through the horse eating the substance, digesting the substance, and then it stops the development of larvae in the future manure. Now, I get a lot of pushback. People say larvicides, Simplify, which the active chemical in Simplify is actually another chemical called diflubenzuron. And so people will say diflubenzuron is not absorbed into the horse's gastrointestinal tract, but we know that it actually is. The first clue that it actually is that if you read on the back of any of these feed through pesticides for your horses, it'll say in big bold letters, do not use on horses intended for slaughter. So I want you to think about that and think about why that might be. It's because the difluobenzuron does not stay in the horse's digestive tract. And even if it did, right, it's not selective per se. So we'll talk about that in a minute. When we look at the safety data information on difluobenzuron specifically, and this, like I said, there are other larvicides and insecticides and pesticides that are used, but the most common one I'm asked about is difluobenzuron. When we look at the safety, the health risks associated with difluobenzuron, we see lots of central nervous system things that can happen, lots of respiratory tract issues. That's typically going to be from inhalation. So say you opened a bucket and inhaled a bunch, or somehow your horse inhaled a lot of dust from that. However, it does have a negative impact on the digestive tract and reproductive health. It also is found to severely compromise the health of mucous membranes. Mucous membranes is what lines the digestive tract and other, you know, areas in the body, but lines the digestive tract from mouth to tail. The EPA gives difluobenzuron a toxicity class rating of 3 out of a scale being 1 to 4, uses a what they call a signal word caution. In studies, while there is no carcinogenic effect of difluobenzuron that was observed in vitro, there is genotoxic and mutagenic effects that were observed in vivo models. So in vitro means in a petri dish, in vivo means in animal models. So what they're saying is that it did not cause cancer in a lab. However, when implemented in animals, in actual animal trials and studies, it did have a mutagenic effect, pre-carcinogen effect. In the company's advertisement itself, it doesn't say a toxin-free or a no-toxic, non-toxic feed-through fly control. It says a lower toxin feed-through fly control, meaning that difluobenzuron is one of the lowest toxin feed-through fly controls of all the chemical feed-through fly controls. All of this to say that if you think you're feeding Simplify repeatedly for any period of time, you are kidding yourself to think that it doesn't have any long-term impact on the horse's body. We also have to remember that a lot of these agricultural products that have been kind of migrated into the equine world, most of their studies, most of their safety information is based on animals that have a much shorter lifespan than horses. Not naturally, right? Naturally, a cow can live as long as a horse can live, but cows are rarely used for pets, right? for anything other than slaughter. I won't say rarely, but predominantly that's what these studies and things are used for. So if you pick a feed-through fly control as one of your fly control methods, please, 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 do your research. Read more than just the summary of the study. Actually dig into the data and see what it says. Make sure you're understanding whether these risks are associated with in vitro studies or in vivo studies, whether they are acute or long-term toxicities. Make sure you understand. Also, know that there are much, much better options for fly control that work better and that make more sense. One of the other caveats of Simplify is that if you're in an area like I am, where my neighbors have 4 or 5 horses, I have 7 or 8 horses, there is some other cattle and livestock on the other side of me. So unless everybody here is using Simplify, it just doesn't work. So the best thing to do is to make sure your horses are as resistant as possible to flies. Make sure their environment is as resistant as possible to flies and mosquitoes. So while feeding a pesticide will help with the flies and the manure, having proper environmental management, so making sure that you're not leaving a pasture full of manure to just gather flies or stalls full of manure to gather flies. I understand that's why a lot of boarding boards want to use something like Simplify, because it reduces the labor and the labor cost of having that many horses in one place. But if you can make the horses more resistant to the flies, then you can at least save the horses the trouble and prevent long-term impact on their lives, performance, health, etc. So what does that look like? That looks like using a combination of herbs. You can do something like garlic, some rose hips, some milk thistle. There are a lot of herbal companies that have fly away type herbal preparations, and those work in a number of ways. Number one, they strengthen the acid mantle on the horse's skin, making them more resistant and more healthy in general. They also help to detoxify the liver. The caveat to these things is that they don't work well in high sugar, high starch, high inflammatory diets. One place that I see simplify, even, you know, magnify troubles for horses is when they are already on a concentrated junk feed product rather than forage. And so we're just adding, you know, compounding the inflammation in that horse's body and damaging their gut so that they have further inflammation and issues from the feed, right? So instead of that, putting a horse on an all forage diet, encouraging that acid mantle buildup and providing a little bit of garlic to help. And I actually get pushback. So a safe dose of garlic is somewhere between 1 teaspoon and 3 teaspoons once or twice a day. Okay. That is a safe dose of garlic. A lot of the pushback I get when I tell people like you can use garlic, or if I put that out publicly, is, there's all these studies on garlic causes anemia. There are a lot of studies about garlic and anemia, or the active compound in garlic causing anemia. Most of the studies were done with onion tops rather than garlic, number one. So we don't know what additional constituent was at play there. Number two, the studies are over 4 ounces to 1 pound of garlic a day. Now, 4 ounces of garlic is larger than if you were to go to Walmart and buy just a regular bottle of garlic powder. Usually those are about 3.5 ounces. So on no planet is that the right amount of garlic to give to a horse, right? So please don't do that, because you probably will have problems. So that would be, you know, an extreme overdose there. That thing of garlic should last you for a month for a horse, right? So don't feed 3.5 ounces. Certainly don't feed more than that, up to a pound of garlic a day. Not to mention, I'm not sure how you get a horse to eat that much garlic. And I'm pretty good about getting horses to eat things that they don't want to eat or that they might find less appealing than sweet feed. So, or at least temporarily. So make sure that you're employing these methods. Now, a big part of fly repelling, making your, you know, environment, the horse's environment, a fly-free zone is proper picking and care of stalls and pastures. For pastures, for paddocks, this is something where our friends at Paddock Blade can certainly help. I highly recommend this product. It makes it quick and easy. It saves you tons of time. There's not a good solution for picking stalls. It's just something that you have to do, and you have to dispose of that manure someplace away from the horses, you know, their main gathering place. You can also use a good fly spray. A good fly spray is really essential to have on hand. You can not just spray the horses, but spray the walls of the stall. These products really do help repel insects. And, you know, if your horse is afraid of the spray bottle, definitely condition them kindly to not be afraid of the spray bottle. But there are solutions like using one of those dishwashers where the soap is like in the handle of the sponge apparatus. You can fill one of those with fly spray and then use that to paint on the horse. You can also spray a brush and then brush that onto the horse. It takes a little bit more time, but that can certainly help. Natural is much, much better. So make sure you're checking ingredients, even on the fly spray. Look for a spray that contains essential oils like citronella, other natural type repellents. You have to be careful because some of the topical fly sprays are just as gnarly as the feed through fly sprays. And we also have to remember that anything that is on the horse's skin is absorbed into the bloodstream within about 30 seconds. So you really want to be careful about what you're applying topically as well. You can also put out fly traps and fly fans. Sticky tape, bug zappers, all these traps are a really satisfying way to kind of reduce the population around your barn or property. Making sure that they're in the right spot is really, really important. So you want to, you know, place them high up to make sure your horse can't get it, but also to, that's where most of the flies will congregate. If you use some sort of odor trap, man, those things stink. So more power to you if you can do it, but put it at least 50 to 75 feet from where the horses are to lure the flies away from the horse rather than lure them to the horse. You can also do, a biological warfare. There are things called fly predators. And they are biteless, stingless type wasps, and they are released around your farm, around your ranch, your stables, your pastures, your barn, whatever it might be. And they eat flies and stop fly eggs from hatching. Now, I will say, people ask me about this one all the time as well. I'm a little hesitant to use things like fly predators. They absolutely work, and I have a lot of clients that use them and use them well, and they work well. However, I've heard some horror stories outside of fly control conversations where a biological approach has been done this way, and the thing, the predator that they use to get rid of the nuisance, ended up taking over and causing further ecological damage. This was actually in a lake. They released a certain kind of fish to eat the over plant population of a certain type of plant, and that fish ended up eating all of the plant and then going on to kill most of the bass and crappie population. So, and that happened recently. That was something that wasn't done by private owners like you and I, or, you know, the people that, you know, anybody who's listening to this. It was done by Texas A&M, right? Like they thought they had figured out all this stuff and things to make sure that didn't continue to happen. And it backfired majorly for lots of years. That happened at a lake in Texas. So making sure that if you're going to use something like fly predators, you're just really cautious to follow the instructions. They are said to be a safe and organic weapon in your fly fighting arsenal. And I don't disagree. I just, you know, like be careful, right? Another thing is making sure that you don't have standing water. Sometimes that's difficult, right? Because we have ponds and things and, but, you know, trying your best to manage those type of standing water. So, you know, managing that environment, keeping the stalls clean and tidy, keeping the paddock clean and tidy, all of those things really help to keep your horse comfortable. So getting rid of any manure debris, any urine debris, any of those kind of things. And then lastly, I've touched on it a bit through the episode, but making sure you're really feeding your horse to repel flies, getting them off of that concentrated feed with all that inflammatory molasses and sugar and vegetable oil and grain. That does a huge, huge thing for horses. Adding a little bit of garlic to make sure that they are sweating through that repellent, making sure that their minerals are balanced. All of those things go a long, long way to help your horse be a natural fly repellent. So I'm so excited that you joined me for this. Stay tuned for the next episode. It'll be released next Friday. A quick announcement. There is an upcoming workshop coming up for ulcers on March 28th. If you register, you'll get the old workshop. You'll get access to the new workshop when it's live, as well as lifetime access to the recording. You'll get a live Q&A at the actual live workshop, and then you'll also get a secondary live Q&A about 2.5 weeks later in case you have any questions after you've gone through and implemented the information. So hopefully you will join me. You can join me live or register and get the replay. It is on super sale right now, but once the class happens and it goes on for sale for, you know, on into perpetuity until we update it again, then it'll cost a little bit more. So definitely check that out. You can find the link in the show notes, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast. Ratings and reviews are always appreciated. We'll catch you in the next episode.